Welcome back to another episode of the Go, Go, Grow podcast. Today I am joined by Sonia Marchisillo. She is the owner and founder of Pinnacle Communications Group. Pinnacle is a female and minority owned commercial physical security business, and they protect both your business and your people, which of course are your most valuable assets.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank you for joining me, Sonia.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm sure this is going to be a great discussion because we have so much to talk about, not only your success, how you got started. You've broken a lot of barriers. And in fact, the title of this episode is Breaking New Ground, Paving the Way, and Smashing the Status Quo.
I love it. Absolutely. Yeah. I always tell my team, what glass ceiling?
Yeah, I don't see a ceiling.
I don't either.
So I'm going to throw a couple of accolades out to the audience that, and this is just recently.
Yes.
Ones that you've received. So I'm going to have to read this so I make sure I don't get it wrong. 2023 Tech Company of the Year.
Yes.
2023 Jacksonville Service Firm of the Year.
Absolutely.
2023 Jacksonville Business Journal Ultimate CEO.
That was a good one.
Ultimate's always good.
Absolutely. I like that one.
The 2023 Woman of the Year.
Yes.
And of course, you had to follow that up with the 2022 and 2023 Women of the Year in Tech.
Yes,
ma'am. Because you had to get specific there.
Very specific. One's international and one's national.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, spread the wealth.
Yes.
And then if you want to be the Woman of the Year Grand Champion from Enterprising Woman Magazine, that would be you.
Me. Yes, man. That'd be me 2023.
Yes. So Sonia is a force to be reckoned with. And I am so glad that I am now a friend, colleague, and in the Sonia circle.
Yes. I'm so happy to have you in the circle.
Thank you. Thank you. So one of the things that you and I have in common, well, actually, there's a few things. We are a little bit fearless. We like challenges. Mm-hmm. We like to root for the underdog.
Yes.
We tend to want to be giving to those who need a hand up, whether it's a mentorship or coaching or whatever it may be. And in the words of my mother, don't tell me I can't do something. I will prove you wrong.
Yes. And it's funny because you talk about giving a hand up. I really want to be the me I needed when I was in that phase in my company. And I think that's what's most important, you know, being able to help, because there's not a lot of women who are helping.
Absolutely. We need to be not only the change that we want to see in the world,
yes,
but we need to be the change that others need to see as well.
Exactly. I think that the hardest thing is we have to remember that we are the example. Mm-hmm. And so we always want to be leading by example because you never know who's watching.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So let me share some statistics that I know you are intimately familiar with, but our audience might not be.
Okay.
So again, I'm going to check to make sure I have this right. Of the small businesses in the U.S., and 99 point whatever of U.S. businesses are considered small businesses.
Yes.
Women only own 12.3 million of those businesses, which is 25%.
And that's terrible. We need to move that number, but we also have to look at the policies and the procedures and the way things used to be. In the 80s, women couldn't even get a loan by themselves.
Right.
We had to have our father, our husband, our brother, our neighbor who, it didn't even matter. As long as it was a male, it was somebody that gave them value on the loan. So I think that we are changing some of the demographics and some of the statistics. And I think it's women like us who are continuing to forge that path to move those numbers so that our kids' kids and our daughters' daughters do not have to go through the things that we've gone through.
Absolutely. asking permission is not something that I'm a fan of.
No, me either.
but let's get a little bit more specific. It's not just women business owners. It's women in tech.
Absolutely.
That is a very small population. It is U.S. tech startups, 17% of founders are women. So you're a rare breed.
I am a rare breed. And I think it's because I am self-funded. When I first started my company, women are at a deficiency when it comes to startup capital, any kind of access to capital. I think that's one of the biggest hindrances for women. We're still looked at as an if. And not as a solid entity, being a woman owning a company.
And you're absolutely right. It's not just the access to capital. It is the lack of networks.
Yes.
It's the lack of role models, like you mentioned.
Absolutely.
It's the perceived biases, whether they're conscious or unconscious. The level of belief.
Sure.
And whether or not you even know what the heck you're doing.
Exactly. Because we're up against almost every field is male dominated. So we're automatically at a disadvantage. So it often takes us more time, energy, and effort to be heard, to be seen, to be listened to. So that makes a huge difference when you're looking at, do I have the appetite to launch a company, especially for women?
So you brought up male dominated. Weren't you in another industry that was a bit male-dominated before tech?
Yes, I was in the automotive industry.
And in leadership at that.
Yes, in leadership. And I can tell you that that's the same thing. You know, you're going to find it pretty streamlined across the board.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I was in communications, again, male-dominated. So those are the numbers that we need to change. That's the needle that we need to push.
Yeah.
And having a voice just like yours on this podcast is exactly what needs to be understood. So more women are getting out there. We're getting bolder and we're getting stronger and we are better together because we need those networks. We need those villages almost to be able to help each other and give those hands up.
Absolutely. And a big part of that is resources.
Yes.
You're a member of a very strong member of JSEB.
Yes.
And I've recently moved to the Jacksonville area. I'm actually about an hour south in Palm Coast. But one of the reasons I moved here was the very vibrant and resource-rich business community in Jacksonville, and especially the focus on entrepreneurs, small businesses, scaling up and growth. And getting to know the Jacksonville, City of Jacksonville office, the mayor's offices, business development, things of that nature. I came across JSEB and Greg Grant.
Yes.
And that led me to you. So tell me about your experiences a little bit with JSEB, but also with all the other organizations that you've told me about. And of course, now that I'm going to get involved with them as well.
Sure. I think that the biggest thing with JSEB is it puts a spotlight on the fact that small businesses here are talent rich. We have a vibrant community. And I think that keeping that JSEB inclusivity is really important because us small businesses, we do make up 70% of the workforce here in Jacksonville. And I think that we don't get some of the accreditation that we should, but we are really the backbone. We're standing up the city. And I love that they are coming together and they're becoming a louder voice. Greg has been instrumental coming into this new administration to really be an advocate. He's such a voice for JSEB and he's such an advocate. And I think that because he's been there, he's had several companies in his past that I think that he really kind of understands the struggles that we've gone through. He sees what those hurdles are and he knows kind of how to overt those potholes and things that we're going to get into that are the unforeseen that we don't know. But it also helps with being able to have that spotlight, but shine it all over the city, getting into some of those networkings and getting into some of those other projects. There are several organizations in Jacksonville. And when you think about it, it's almost like a spider web. One connects to the other, which connects to the other. And then pretty soon it's a big little city and everybody kind of knows everybody and everybody sees you in those networkings and you become a familiar face. And for me, I sit on the board for the Arlington Council. It's probably one of the best boards that Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce has. And it's very inviting. And I share that because They meet once a month the last Wednesday of the month. It's a breakfast. It's great. But the people that are in there are quality people. You are meeting people who want to help you with your business, want you to help them with their business. And everybody can use more customers. And the only way to get more customers is to be seen and to be out. And I think that that networking portion and piece of it really is important. I'm also the president of the Northwest Jack's Rotary. That's great because that's our give back.
Yes.
You know, small businesses don't get the awards and we don't get the rewards for the big dollar donations and some of these other things that these larger corporations do. But we are the boots on the ground. We're the feet in the street. We're going into the schools. We're doing those things. We are making a difference and we are being the change. So I would really encourage women to get connected. You know, she needs to be connected. You need to be connected. I need to be connected, because what that's going to do is that's just going to make us stronger together.
And, you know, it is fantastic that large corporations fund worthy organizations. It's fabulous. We couldn't do what we need to do in this world without them. Mm-hmm. But we need doers as well.
Absolutely. You need people that are execution, that are going to get out there mm-hmm. and get it done. You know, I co-founded a giving circle, the Jacksonville Women in Business for Good. And that giving circle specifically is tailored to the mom and pop nonprofit, because oftentimes those nonprofit dollars that come down on the local, the city, the whatever the government level is, those dollars trickle down and they kind of stop at some of the bigger nonprofit organizations. So what we've done is we've created an avenue for these nonprofits, these mm-hmm. mom and pop shops, to have a little piece of the pie and be able to keep our dollars right here in Jacksonville.
You know, if you look at the analogy between the JSEBs and other local regional entrepreneurial resource groups, and you look at those mom and pop nonprofits, it's kind of the same thing.
It is.
They need our support.
Absolutely.
So that they can grow and help more people. So don't just look at, you know, what large organization can I support, whether it's a corporation, whether it's a national resource group or nonprofit group. Where can you help locally? What small business, small nonprofit, small support group? And that kind of brings me to another thing that I really want to promote this year. And I know this speaks to you as well. I talked about the things that we have in common and cheering on and supporting the underdog.
Yeah.
Certainly as women, we have had some challenges and some barriers as entrepreneurs in the corporate world, whatever the case may be, to achieve some of our goals. We've overcome those. Mm-hmm. And I know both of us have helped others up as well. As a minority as well, you've had other challenges, but you've broken down those barriers, that you have a different perspective.
I do. And, you know, I've sat in several rooms where I'm the only female minority in the room, and I've been laughed at. I've been ridiculed. I've been kicked out of the room. I've been told that I didn't need to be in that room. It's okay. We're going to figure it out. You know, we'll let you know what we decide. But it's really that tenacity. It's that grit. It's that boldness to sit in there, because you don't realize that a lot of those other people that are sitting in those seats, predominantly older white men, are sitting in those same seats with our demographic and what we're doing. They often become your friends. You know, it's really just breaking down those barriers and letting them know that I'm not here to take anything from you. I'm here to collaborate with you.
It's person to person.
It is.
Not stereotype to stereotype.
That's right. That's right. And that's, I think that's so funny, because I keep a hard hat. I've got work boots in my car, and it's often, you know, kind of looked at when I go in the room, like, oh, is she really going to get on the roof? But I have lots of pictures. I've been on lots of roofs here in Jacksonville. They don't scare me. So yeah. And it's great, because once you really break down those barriers and you really just see people for people, they do become lifelong friends. They become partners. They become advocates and vendors and people that you can lean on when you're in your business. So I think it's been really rewarding to walk and get in that room. I always tell everybody, get in the room.
So to add another layer to that, your husband is retired military.
Yes.
Thank you for his service and for your family's sacrifices.
His service and my patience.
Yes. Well, everyone who served, every veteran, their family served along with them.
I agree.
And I appreciate the heck out of that. I respect I respect what they've done for our country. Jacksonville, I'm not sure if it is the largest veteran population, but it is. Okay. So in this community, there is a large population here of individuals that maybe they're not ready to retire. Maybe they want to have another, you know, a second career. And they may think, maybe I'll start a business.
Sure.
And they may want that coaching, those resources, which kind of segues into my fourth category of underdogs. And I will share, I deal with mental health challenges. I am bipolar. I have ADHD, and I've known since I was 6 years old.
Wow.
That I was not the same as everyone else. I've had challenges. I spent 20 years in the corporate world. I don't fit in the corporate world.
Sure.
Every success I've had, every challenge I've had, every breakthrough, every brilliant idea, every massive failure.
Yes.
I've learned from, but I owe it all, success and failure, to being bipolar. I owe being a great entrepreneur to being bipolar. I owe wanting to help people to being bipolar. So my focus, personal and professional, is I want to help all these underdogs. And if you think about where we are in Jacksonville, there's a lot of veterans.
Yes.
There's a lot of women. There's a lot of minorities.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people that fit all of those categories that deal with mental health challenges. There's PTSD.
Yes.
And a lot of times when you don't fit in that corporate world and you want to be an entrepreneur, but you don't know how. That's who I want to help.
That's awesome, because there's such a stigma around mental health, but it doesn't have to be. And I think that we need to be more vocal about it.
Yes.
And kudos to you for being vulnerable and sharing, because it is what is required for it to have those breakthroughs, for people to be okay with their mental health, for people to be okay to talk about it, mm-hmm. and simply be so embracive with it that they can use it as an asset for themselves, mm-hmm. as a benefit to make them stronger, make them bolder. But there's so many resources for veterans. Right now, I can tell you, the city has a $2,000 veteran small business grant. A grant is one you don't pay back,
but the
applications are open right now, and they're open for the rest of this month. But it's a $2,000, almost a thank you grant to keep going, stay in your business, mm-hmm. stay in the fight, especially as a veteran. So I know that those programs are out there. I know that they have special alliances and special chambers and organizations specifically designated to veterans. But again, get connected, be
yes.
bold and get connected.
Absolutely. And asking for help
yes.
is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength.
It is a strength. I firmly believe it is a strength.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to make this offer to anyone, anywhere that's listening. If you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking for a coach, if you're looking for someone to just listen to you, give you ideas, brainstorm, contact me. I'm not asking for clients. I'm asking for people I can help.
Absolutely. And I think you should. You know, the thing is we don't know till we ask, mm-hmm. and you never know what that person has or what that person can offer. That's why those conversations are critical. I'm an over communicator. So I always say over communicate, don't under communicate, don't assume, but absolutely ask yeah. the questions.
Absolutely. And everyone has their own special gift, mm-hmm. whether it's a talent, a certain knowledge, skill set, a desire, a creative area. And if you want to move that into a business, an entrepreneurial activity, you should.
Absolutely. Your passion should be your business.
Absolutely.
My passion is protecting, especially women. You know, we are at such a disadvantage in every aspect, everywhere we go. But I think that the more that we're in control of the things we can control, that creates a better balance. It creates a stability. And so for me, the passion is making sure that we are protecting your people. That's so critical. It's so important.
So getting back to your business, this kind of went in a weird little circle, but I feel good about that circle.
Me too.
Hope you do too.
Yes.
So your business is 4 years old. You started it during COVID.
We did. We did July 15th of 2020. It officially launched, and we just turned four last month.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
tell me about the genesis of your business, why you started it, and what unique barriers you've faced because of COVID and just some of the things that we've discussed as barriers.
Sure. Some people know, some don't, but when COVID happened, I had a two 18-year-old daughters at the time, and girls were home, and one was at the College of Charleston, and the other one was a valedictorian here at one of the local high schools. But when COVID happened, it shut down everything. Their whole life shut down. I think 18 to 22, 25-year-olds, their life kind of stopped.
Yes.
They didn't really know how to function without friends and cars and going and doing. And it just became, we were just kind of in this rut. And so the girls were not really doing much of anything. And I was going to work, my husband's going to work. And I had said to him, like, we need a change. Like, something's got to give with the girls. And he said, there's just no outlet for the girls right now. You know, their jobs are shut down. They couldn't go to school. Everything was deferred. Things were on delay. Nothing was open. And he said, if it's not out there, then you have to create it. And that's really what sparked that's where it started. It's a kudos to my husband, who actually said, if it's not out there, you have to create it. So we literally went to the sofa. We were eating pizza and Funyuns, went to the sofa. I did a SWOT analysis with my girls, just like I would in one of my dealerships. And everything kept coming back to retail. We drilled down a little bit more, came back to technology. And that's where it became very eye-opening. And like you mentioned before, just the statistics, 5% of women are actually in technology, 2.5% are minority women, and 0.5% are an actual founder or hold a C-suite position. Yes. So I looked at the girls and I said, that's our niche. We're going to change those numbers. We're going to push the needle. We're going to move the needle. We're going to do what it takes to, you know, get that dial moving. And that's exactly what we've done. When we launched, though, I didn't have access to capital. I didn't have some of those things because I was a startup. We were very brand new. So I cashed out my 401k. I launched it with my own retirement, and it's the money that we used, and that's what we had. And I really put all the chips in and banked on myself and two 18-year-old girls. And we were laughed at. Oh, goodness.
It was a good bet.
It was a great bet. Yeah, I'd take it again. I'm pretty good at betting, actually, I think, now that I look at it. But, you know, it was one of those things where I knew my grit, my tenacity, my appetite for work ethic, and I knew that the girls had it as well. So I knew that if anything was going to come out of it, that was going to be positive. It was going to be something that's going to sustain in a pandemic, but thrive outside of a pandemic. And that's really where it was born. And once it was born and we started to get going, that's when all the roadblocks, the obstacles, the walls, I mean, everything just kind of started to kind of hit us, because there wasn't education, access to capital. There's no strategy meetings and teams, and there isn't all these different things that you need when you're launching a business. And we were in a male dominated industry. The average tenure is a 60-year-old white male.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I've got two Hispanic 18-year-olds and their mom. So, I mean, it's like, really, I don't even know. My husband always says, babe, you're either crazy or, you know, you're super smart. And it's like, oh, goodness, I must have been a genius that day, because I was really banking on myself and banking on the girls. But those obstacles are out there. You will have to overcome them. But again, getting yourself in those rooms, being bold enough to do it, because there were a lot of mornings where I didn't want to get up and go out there. I knew that I was going to be dealing with some guys that didn't have decent things to say. I had to sit next to people who didn't want me to sit next to them. I had to walk into rooms where they didn't even want me there anyways. And you're dealing with such a stigma in an industry that you don't even know what you're doing. Women don't know what they're doing. Why are you doing this? You know, where's your husband? Is this his company? You know, why didn't you launch this with your sons? I mean, I've heard everything I think that I could hear in a negative connotation about my company, but then you just continue to put your nose down and you grind and you go to work. And by going to work, I think that's where it starts to shine a little bit. You know, we start to see a little bit of the rubber under the tires, or whatever they say, like the rubber meets the road. And
yeah,
you start to see some of that stuff. And then when you reciprocate and you start looking at the ways that you're really helping and you're making a difference, and then it becomes rewarding. You know, then you're starting to see the fruits of your labor. So I think that you have to stay in the fight. You have to stay, you know, you got to keep in the ring. And I say that to my kids all the time, you know, stay in it, stay in it, because the minute you quit, you failed. So I want to make sure that they are understanding that they can do anything. You can do anything you put your mind to.
So as my mother would say, don't tell me I can't do something, because I will prove you wrong.
That's right. That's right. One thing that we say in my house is, you know, fear is not from God. It's man-made. And so I always tell the kids, like, somebody put that in your head, like, that's not what's going on. You know, that's not where we are today. So let's go get it. And so it's really about being positive letting yourself remember that you are just human.
Yeah.
If you didn't get it today, you can go back and get it tomorrow, and to continue to overcome those objectives, you know, break down those barriers, break down those walls, and ask for help, collab with people. You know, you always want to collaborate versus compete, because once we realize that people who are wanting to be on your team are going to be on your team, then you're more of a winning spirit. Then you're kind of getting well-rounded and you're learning the business. And I think that that also is a testament to making sure that you have the right contacts, you're in communication with the right people. I think that, you know, we need to really be proactive. I'm not a big political person, but I think that we need to exercise our opportunity to vote. I think that that makes a difference on the local level, especially when you're talking about local dollars, local grants, local small business lending. People need to get active in their community. I think that's another missing piece, is to not know what you don't know. You know, go to those town halls, you know, go to those meetings, log on, get in those Zoom calls, because the more you educate yourself, the more confidence you're going to have and the more ability you're going to be able to be a game changer in whatever it is you're trying to do.
So, Sonia, I want to go back and talk about resources.
Sure.
For a moment. So we've talked a little bit about JSEB. Mm-hmm. There are a ton of other organizations throughout Florida and pretty much every other state in the union. In Florida, I know I've talked in other podcasts about Grow FL.
Yes.
There are First Coast Manufacturing Association. There are actually, Florida has a ton of manufacturing companies. So if you go all throughout the different regions, there's some in Sarasota, some in Bradenton, some in Southeast Florida. But it's not just Florida. They're all over the country. And I know that getting involved in the community, especially at the local level.
Sure.
Yeah. And finding out what those resources are, getting your voice heard, that's something that's very near and dear to your heart, and that you you really share that message with others in your network. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you personally have gone about finding those resources, and where you would suggest our listeners to locate them, and how to make their voice heard?
Sure. I think that the first thing you want to do is make sure that you know who you are in your business. I'm a minority women-owned company, so I want to go out and I want to capture every benefit available to me as a minority and as a women business owner. Once you get your certifications, once you get yourself accredited, go after those set-aside dollars. All local levels have set-aside dollars. So making sure that you are connected, signed up, you go in and you get into those portals. There's a lot of portals. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but every small town, village, you know, Neptune Beach, Jacks Beach, the city of Jacksonville, they're all different and separate entities. Uh-huh. So you want to make sure that you're connected to all of them. That way, if those set aside dollars do trickle down, you have the opportunity as a whatever your demographic is or whatever your ethnicity is, you can make sure that you're really kind of marketing yourself in that manner. Become an advocate, you know, find the things that are your passion and go out there and make sure that you are getting into those breakfasts, get into those dinners, go to those networkings, go to those luncheons. I think that some of the networkings that we do, the free ones are always the best ones because they're free. But some of those that you may have to pay a couple of dollars for always end up being pretty rewarding.
Right.
Because people need to be paid for their time. And generally, whoever's speaking probably is warranted. But I think that if you get into those rooms and you get yourself signed up for some of that stuff, I think you'll start to see a difference. Make sure that you're marketing yourself on your social media. You know, you want to make sure that your business is a direct reflection of who you are as a person, who you are as a company, and what your mission and vision are. And just making sure that you're broadcasting yourself accordingly. You know, you want to make sure that you're seen in the right light, you're in the right rooms, that you are really what the direct reflection of your company is. I can't stress that enough. And I tell my team, and today I'm not wearing it because I had a couple of other things before this, but you are the branding. So our shirts are branded with our business. You know, I don't want to wear a Nike t-shirt when I can wear a PCG t-shirt. And I think that we miss the mark on some of those things, because your jackets, your clothes, your cars, every single thing is a reflection of who and what your business is. So I think that I as much as I love designer stuff, and I do, but I'm going to formidably just put that to the side unless it's warranted, because I will be in a PCG t-shirt or a PCG jacket, because those things are a statement and a testament to who our company is, and be proud of it. Be proud of what you're doing and what you're building.
I want to build on what you just said about going to the right events and knowing what your company voice is, and make sure you know who's in the room with you. There are many people out there that hate networking with a passion. They don't want to do it.
Have you met me?
I am, believe it or not, the biggest introvert. You get me in a small group or a group where I can talk with people about subjects I know, subjects that I love. I'll talk all day. I'll be animated. I will, you know, be comedian Michelle. But you get me in a group of 100 people I don't know and ones who probably want to sell me, you know, real estate services, insurance services, legal services, consumer services, and I'm here with my business to business service. I'm a wallflower. I don't want to be there. So research the networking group that you want to go to.
Sure. And always swim in the bigger pond. You know, you want to make sure that you don't, you aren't in that small circle where it's the realtors and the insurance, excuse me, the insurance agents and some of those businesses that maybe you don't necessarily need or will not be working with in the beginning. I always tell everybody that talks to me about networking, swim in the bigger pond, go to the bigger networking, go to the bigger, whatever the bigger gala is or, you know, whatever the fundraiser is and get involved in what your passion is. If your passion's animals, go to the animal fundraisers, go to
that's a good point.
Go to wherever your passion is. I like sports. So I always try to do the stuff that's got to do with sports and anything in my industry, but making sure that you understand your competition and you won't find your competition if you don't go get yourself in those bigger pools and swim in the bigger fit, swim at the bigger fish. Absolutely.
That's a great point. Don't think that your only venue to network is a business venue.
Yes.
It can be a charity venue.
It can be a Rotary Club. It can be, you know, you could be the Girl Scout leader. It doesn't matter. It's wherever your voice can be heard.
Yeah.
And it's where you feel comfortable.
And on the flip side, not only going to the bigger ponds, if you're building up your confidence, building up your networking skills, go to a highly targeted, smaller group where you can figure out how to make those connections.
Sure. And there's classes. There's so many classes all over the city. We've got free classes for speaking and how to speak better. And we have classes for, you know, how the business 101 and, you know, the cohorts for the Jack's Chamber. And there's so many different organizations. And a lot of that stuff is free. You just need to sign up for it. And you're going to go in there and you're going to meet people who are like-minded and are going through the same thing that you are. Who want to be in that, you know, who want to be bigger, want to be better.
I haven't done it in a while, but I believe it was, I think it was meetups.com or it might've been through Eventbrite. I believe it was nationwide. You could go in there and search meetup groups.
Oh yeah.
And you could get specific. I mean, if you wanted to go on a singles cross country skiing trip,
sure,
you could do that. And the same thing for business.
Right.
If you wanted to talk to business owners of startups in this industry, you could do that.
Yeah. And I think that the biggest thing is we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just enhancing how it turns.
Yeah.
That's what I always say, because honestly, somebody's already done it. You know, I wanted to play volleyball here locally and I went to social media. I went to Facebook and put in volleyball and I found all kinds of volleyball clubs and groups. And I found now I can play on Friday nights. And you have to just really take that step. Again, just being bold and finding your passion. I love to play and being able to network in there, you're going to find yourself naturally networking where you're not actually selling. You're really just building relationships. And I always emphasize that you want to build the relationship before you need it. And in order to do that, you've got to be communicating and talking to the right people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk for a second about networking or building those relationships before you need them on professional sites like LinkedIn.
Sure. Contrary to the belief, LinkedIn is not a dating site.
Oh my gosh. And it's not a political debate site.
It is not.
It's not a social agenda site.
But I think that when you really stick to it and you drill down, you want to make sure that the content you're putting out is clean. It's very concise and it's a reflection of you. But also making sure that you're using LinkedIn properly. You know, LinkedIn is a huge tool to advocate for yourself, but also find yourself other like-minded small businesses. You want to find those same passions. You can find anybody that's really kind of doing what you're doing on LinkedIn. And there's good quality opportunities and people on LinkedIn.
You know, the way you and I met.
Yes.
I don't know if you recall.
I do.
So going back to Greg Grant with J-Seb.
Love Greg.
Yes. On one of his posts, he had commented I don't recall if he highlighted you in the comment or if you responded to his post. And I read about whatever you commented, and I'm like, that's insightful. I like what she said. I liked the way she said it. I'm going to check out her profile. And I'm like, I've got to meet this person. So, of course, I interacted with you. Mm-hmm. I asked you to connect. And noticing that we're both in the same geographic area, I said, are you going to this event? Can we meet up?
Yes.
And it was awesome.
Yes. And it's funny. I think I probably have 17,000 followers on LinkedIn, I think. But the biggest thing for me is it's not the amount of followers. It's actually the quality of the followers.
Yeah.
I'm very bold. You know, I'm going to tell you how it is. I don't sugarcoat things. I'm not Willy Wonka. It's just not how my personality is. But when you find other like-minded people and you're receptive to that, you know, I think that a lot of the really solid connections that I found on LinkedIn are now close friends. They're in my circle. They're people that, you know, I trust that I can call and, you know, call on for advice or just to vent, simply to vent. One of my other really good friends, she's almost one of my best friends. I found her on Facebook when I first moved here and we are great friends. You know, we talk almost every day, but it's those kinds of connections because there is a genuineness behind it, especially when you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. So if you going back to the theme of the show, breaking barriers, paving the way, smashing the stereotypes. If you see an obstacle, whether it's in life, whether it's in business, whether it's in achieving goals that you have, if you see that barrier, know that barriers can be moved.
They can. I run right through them usually. But I think that, yes, it's always the road less traveled if you can, you know, go around it and avoid it. But I think that no matter what you do, where you you're, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Those things are going to come up, but you are the person who makes it as big or as little as it needs to be.
Absolutely. So if your barrier happens to be, the gender, mm-hmm. a minority status, lack of access to capital or resources or role models, you need to find the path. If there isn't a path, you need to make that path.
Yes. If it's not there, create it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And if you want to bulldoze through that barrier like you've done, that's perfectly fine. You can also go around. You can go over. But make that path.
You have to, because at the end of the day, the view from the top is completely worth it. And you spend a lot more time in the valley than you do in the view. So you really want to cherish that view. You want to take it with gratitude and really understand that, you know, it's worth it. You know, but it's one of those things where that sense of accomplishment stays with you and it'll stay with you forever.
And take others with you.
Absolutely. Take as many people as you can.
Absolutely.
We only get, you know, we get one shot here. And I think that sometimes we forget about that. You know, someone said this yesterday to me. They were like, well, we're all dying. And I thought, gosh, I'm not dying.
I'm living.
I thought about it. I was like, I'm not dying. And he's like, you're either busy living or you're busy dying. And I thought, okay, well, that sounds a little better. But, you know, you want to make sure that you make the most of every single day. I get up at 4:30 every day. It gives me 2.5 extra work days in the work week. And I think that's a little bit of the reason why I think that our success is so rampant. I think that's why our pace is so fast, because I am intentionally doing those things that are going to continue to forge us forward.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
Love your energy.
Thanks.
Love the force that is Sonia. And love the fact that we are connected. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you for joining us in our podcast as well. You can find Go, Go, Grow on YouTube and all your favorite podcast outlets. Follow us on those sources. Rate us a 5. Give us your feedback. Ask your questions. And you can find us on the web as well at gogogrowshow.com. Thank you and see you soon.